Your next speaker will be Larry Fife.
One of the greatest challenges of living the Christian life is dealing with temptations. This is especially true for the new Christian, having had all their sins washed away, only to find themselves bombarded once again with the same temptations that they once faced. And it can be difficult and overwhelming sometimes, but we have to ask ourselves, how do we face these temptations? How do we get through those temptations? How do we say no to the temptations that once tempted us and kept us away from God, that pulled us back into the world? How do we handle those temptations? We can find the answer, of course, in the Bible. In James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, we find helpful words for the Christian in the form of a promise and a caution, but in also an understanding of how sin will eventually develop if we let it get to that point. And as we begin looking at the book of James, I want you to understand that God is helping us to deal with the temptations that we're going to go through in our life. That is, He's giving us His guidelines, His instructions on how to handle these things through the inspired pen in the book of James. As we notice James chapter 1 in verse 12, notice what James records for us. He says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him." The man who endures temptations, James says, is the one that's going to be blessed. But notice again what it says in verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptations, for when he is tried," that is, we're going to go through that trial, that we're going to be tempted. But if you look here, the word blessed simply means happy. That we're going to be happy as we go through the temptation. The nature of happiness enjoyed is described as this verse continues, "For after he has been proved, he will receive that crown of life." Proving, just as they prove metals today, they test to see how strong that metal is going to be. To see how firm, how good that metal is going to be, it's first got to be proved. So as we're tempted, as we go through that temptation, knowing that we've proved our faithfulness in God, that we're going to receive that crown of righteousness. "For after he has been proved, he will receive that crown of life." God's telling us He's going to give us the promise of eternal life. And the blessing that we have in that as Christians is knowing this, that God never breaks His promises. It's often the case that the child of God will leave God's side, but God is never going to leave our side. Just as the Israelites told God time and time again, "God, if you'll help us through this temptation, we promise to never leave your side." Yet we know that they forsook their word time and time again. But the promise is given by Him, God, who cannot lie, Titus 1 and verse 2. And it also says the promise is given to those who demonstrate, who prove their love for God through their endurance through that temptation. And we know sometimes that for us to avoid temptations, we have to avoid the temptation altogether. If we have the temptation to drink alcohol, but if we're going to hang out with our friends in a bar, we're not really avoiding the temptation, are we? And we find ourselves back in the same old lifestyle once again. If we want to avoid any type of temptation, then we need to go to the other side of the street, so to speak, to avoid it. But James says that when we've been proved, when we've gone through it, as he says in verse 12, when you go through that trial, we're going to prove that we have that strength and faith in God, and because of that, we receive that crown of life. And so the Christian facing temptations, James says, we can be encouraged knowing that as we read the Word of God, He's also going to give us a caution. God constantly cautions us to be weary and leery of the world before us. As we're traversing through that world called life, we have to understand that temptations are going to come up. It would be wonderful, certainly, if we never faced the temptation. But we know that God is going to stand fast with us. Notice the caution that He gives in verse 13, though. "Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does He tempt any man." But look at verses 16 through 18. "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. James says, let no one say when they are tempted that I am tempted of God. Don't try and blame your temptations on God, James says. Don't point the finger at God and say, God, you did this to me. God, it's your fault that I'm going through this, because it doesn't work that way. God doesn't put the proverbial apple in our face and say, you know, you really want this. It doesn't work that way. We can't blame our temptation on God, for God is so holy that God cannot be tempted with evil. But He doesn't tempt us with evil. So don't be deceived into such thinking, as it says in verses 16 through 18. God is the source of good. God is not the source of evil. God is standing with us. He's not going to tempt us. God is not going to try to make us fall to see if we can go through that. But it is when we are tempted with those trials, when the various temptations are dangling in front of our face and the devil's trying to push us over the cliff to take the bait, we have to be proved and stand fast in our faith to receive that crown of life that God has promised us. In Revelation 2:10, God said, if you stand firm and stand fast and you're faithful unto the end, then you're going to receive that crown of righteousness. So don't be deceived into such thinking that God is the source of good. Remember, God is not the source of evil, James says, that every good and every perfect gift comes from God. Everything and every blessing that we receive in this life from God is a blessing in and of itself, because God is giving us only that which is good. And as we examine, as we have the example of His own will that He brought forth to us, that word of truth in the gospel that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we might produce the first fruits, that is good fruit, through the temptations that we go. That we're not yielded to that temptation, or we're not yielding, rather, to that temptation, knowing that we're going to carry through to the other side because our faith is proven strong and firm. Why? Because we have God's promise and we have God's Word. So knowing that God doesn't tempt us, as James said, in fact, through the words of James, God gives us insight into the development of sin, which can help us to overcome sin. So if we have a caution or a warning, we know that we need to avoid that sin. Just as you're driving down the road and you have a caution sign that tells you what to be wary of, knowing that perhaps they're doing road work and you need to avoid that area so you don't get caught in traffic or perhaps even damage your car. That is, we have a caution given to us, just as God gives us caution. Now we notice the understanding here in James chapter 1. Notice verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Notice what James says there. Man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust. Not something that God has thrown at us, or not something that God has given to us, but we're drawn away by our own lust. That which we desire. Not what God desires for us, but what we desire because of our sinful ways. Because we want to perhaps go back to the world. We have to understand, though, as Christians, that we can't straddle the fence. We can't choose to serve God one day and then serve Satan the next day. We can't choose to serve God one day and live for the world the very next. We're Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we have to understand that when we make that sacrifice to serve God, and it is a sacrifice, just as Jesus said, to take up our cross to follow Him, we have to go through this world knowing that we're going to be tempted sometimes by the devil. The devil's trying to get us to leave God and to come into the ways of the world. But we can't be deceived into thinking what the devil wants us to be. And we have to have an understanding of how sin develops. That first stage of temptation is when we lust after something, when we really want something that bad. We've all been there. We've all wanted something extremely bad before, and perhaps we've done anything to get it. But if it's going to draw us away from God, if that lust is going to tempt us to leave God's side, to be an unfaithful child of God, we need to recognize that. And would you not want a caution sign, knowing of what you're about to do? This stage involves two things concerning lust. Lust is the desire. It's that strong desire that you want something, and it's enticement. Enticement is an opportunity or an encouragement to satisfy that lust. Sometimes we have peer pressure, friends that encourage us to desire the lust, to go after it. But are we strong enough? Is our faith proven, as James talks about, to not be enticed to satisfy that lust? Are we willing to simply say, no, you know, I can't do that because I'm a faithful child of God? Let's put it into a mathematical formula. Temptation equals desire plus opportunity. So if a small boy is tempted to steal cookies, when he wants them, he desires them, and has a good chance to get them, then he's going to go after them. But remember that it's not a sin to be tempted, just as the example of Jesus given to us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, and also the account in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be tempted many times in our life, and just because we're tempted doesn't mean that we're sinning. But what it means is that we have to face that temptation. Maybe perhaps we just want to turn from the temptation, and that's okay for us to do that. But sometimes if we face that temptation head on with God on our side, that we can grow stronger as we go through that temptation in life, knowing perhaps we're not going to allow that temptation to face us again, knowing that we can get through it with God's help. Sin equals desire plus opportunity plus action. The final stage, though, in that unforgiven sin, that is, if we yield to that temptation, is going to be death. Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death," in Romans 6 and verse 23. But notice what James writes in James 1, verse 15. "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." That is, if we die in sin because we've yielded to that temptation, and we don't understand that we need to repent to get out of that sin, that is to be back in the good graces of God, then we're going to die in said sin. And it doesn't take a great sin, as many people believe today, even though what most people fail to understand and really grasp is that sin is sin in the face of God. No matter how big or how small we might think it is, to God, sin is exactly that. It's sin. It's a transgression of the law of God. And if we yield to that lustful temptation, then we've sinned against God. No matter how small we might think it is, in God's eyes, we've transgressed His law and He's had to turn away from us because God cannot be in the presence of evil. We don't want God's anger or wrath kindled against us. And we need the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cool that wrath. But if we yield to that temptation, it's impossible for the blood to cool that wrath unless we understand that we've now succumbed to the evils of this world, knowing that we have to get out of it. Remember that the trying of our faith works patience. But if we lose patience and yield to the temptation, then we have to understand that the wage of that sin that we've chosen to yield to is going to be death and separation from God eternally. None of us wants to stand before God knowing that He's going to deny us because we didn't live faithfully according to His will. No one wants to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, that I never knew you." How disappointed a day it's going to be if we yield to that temptation knowing that we didn't get it right in God's eyes because we yielded after our own lust. Remember, it says in verse 14, "But every man, when he is tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust." So don't point the finger at God saying that God did this. Don't say that it's God's fault that you're in this situation. Knowing that at some particular point in our life, we made the choice to get where we are today. So we can't blame that on God. We can't say, "God, this is your fault that I'm here." We're the ones who yielded to the temptation. But God has always offered a way of escape for us. He's always offered the avenue to get out of anything. He's always opened up that door of opportunity. Yet sometimes because of our own selfish lust, we don't see the opportunity that God has put for us. So sometimes it just requires that we open our eyes to the possibilities of what God has given to us. But ultimately, such death is going to involve eternal punishment. Putting it once more, let's put it in the form of another equation. Desire plus opportunity plus action plus no forgiveness equals punishment. So if you desire something, if you have the opportunity because you put yourself in that situation, you desire the action to go after it, there's not going to be any forgiveness if you don't ask for it, will equal eternal punishment and separation from God. And that's not a place any of us want to be. We want to make sure that we come to God with humble hearts, knowing sometimes we're going to transgress and make mistakes. There's not a person on this earth that is perfect. Only one man walked this earth that was perfect, and that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you know, even He was tempted that we spoke of earlier. Jesus went through temptations just like we did, yet He did it without sin. He did not succumb. And you have to understand, one of the reasons Christ had to go through that temptation was so that we could not say, God, You don't understand what I'm going through. You have no idea what it's like down here on this difficult earth. Jesus said, oh yes, I do. I know exactly what it's like. I know exactly what temptations you face. That is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Jesus said, I faced all those things. So therefore, we have no excuse. We can't point the finger and say, God doesn't understand what I'm going through. There's no trial or temptation that's been taken or given to us or that we've gone through that Paul says that such is not common to man. There's not a person on this earth can say that the temptation that I've gone through, the difficulty that I'm facing today, nobody understands what I'm going through. I guarantee you there's one person on this earth that has gone through the very same thing. Yet one of the great blessings that God gives us is a way to escape that temptation. That is, we have to want and desire to get away from it. We have to make the choice, because another great blessing that God has given us is that we have the freedom to choose who we're going to serve. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and man. We have to choose today who we want to serve. I choose to serve God faithfully, and I hope you choose to serve God faithfully, that you're going to make that choice. But there's going to be times in your life, even as a faithful child of God, that your faith is going to be proved or tested once again when that temptation comes up. But some of the best things that we can do in this life is to avoid that temptation at all cost. That is, to avoid the temptation that's going to draw us back into the ways of the world, knowing that we used to live that life one time. If we go back to it, we're going to be enticed and drawn after it again, because that's the way we used to live. And certainly being a Christian isn't easy. We're going to go through trials and persecutions and temptations in this life. That's the way the world turns. Man made that choice way back in the garden to disobey God's commandments. When they had the perfect life, so to speak, God was taking care of them, providing them with everything that they need. And God said simply to stay away from this one tree. Everything else is given to you. You just cannot eat of this fruit on this tree. But man chose to disobey God's will, to be tempted by the devil himself, to be drawn away when the devil simply said, surely you will not die. That is, trying to change the Word of God to get us to believe the devil's ways instead of understanding God's ways and knowing that God is not going to tempt us, God is not going to leave us, nor is God ever going to forsake us. We're the ones who choose to leave the side of God by being tempted by the ways of the world. That is, being tempted by what the devil wants us to do. And the devil's going to try to come at us at every angle with every temptation. Perhaps you remember the old show where Flip Wilson used to say, well, the devil made me do it. It doesn't work that way either. Because we choose to sin. The devil can't have any control over us other than that temptation. And yet when we yield to that temptation, the devil, in essence, does have a grasp or a hold upon us. But you know, it's something that we can break free from. God gives us the tools to do that. God is going to help us get through it, but we've got to look to Him to do it. Without God's help, we're never going to get through that temptation. We're never going to have the strength. Even when our faith is being tested and proven in that situation, without asking for God, we're never going to get there. I've heard people often say, you know what, I'll come to church when I handle all my problems and I've got so many things going on and there's all these temptations in my life to draw me back into the world. Once I face those things head on, then I'll come to You, God. Then I'll ask for help. God says, you can't do it without Me. God is providing the warning sign. God is giving us the tools to detour around those difficult areas and temptations in our life. But sometimes we want to face the danger head on, and God has already told us to avoid it. And when we go through that temptation and we choose to succumb to that sin, we have to understand that there's going to be a consequence for that action. We have to understand that because of the action, there's a great possibility that we might lose our eternal salvation forever. All because we chose to live in sin, but for a moment. Remember, sin is the pleasure is fleeting. It only lasts for a little time, just as life does. And many times we think there's pleasure in that sin, but when we come through the other side, we realize that it was the greatest mistake that we made, knowing that if we would have died in that sin, we would have lost eternal salvation forever. To have God turn His back on us because God will not be in the presence of that evil, to have Him simply push us away and say, "I'm sorry. You were the worker of iniquity. You cannot be with me forever." That's something I would certainly dread if I were living in sin today. Certainly if I were succumbing to the temptation, that lust of the flesh that James talks about, because I desire to go after that rather than to go after God's and to follow God and His commandments. But again, we have to make that choice. We know how sin develops, and we know exactly what sin is. We don't have an excuse. And God says you cannot have an excuse, knowing that He's given us His holy and divine Word. But remember, when you do go through that sin, know that God is standing there to help you through it. But you've got to ask Him to help you overcome. Maybe when you're facing that temptation, and that temptation is staring you down in the face, do you simply try and go around it, or do you stop and ask God to help guide you around it? What we fail to forget sometimes is that the greatest avenue of communication that we have with our Heavenly Father is the avenue of prayer. And we forget to simply talk to God sometimes. Sometimes perhaps we only do it when we're sitting down to a meal or at a restaurant or whatever the case might be. Maybe we only pray to God at night. You see, that avenue of prayer should be something that's consistent in our lives, because the more we talk to God, the less we're going to be tempted with the ways and the sins of the world. Because as we communicate with our Heavenly Father, providentially, He's looking after us. He's wanting and willing and caring for us. But we have to understand that God is providing us with the escape route through that temptation. But we have to open our eyes to that. We have to be willing to see the signpost that God is giving us to guide us through that difficult area of our life that might tempt us to fall and succumb to the ways of the world. Again, we have to build that patience and that understanding and knowledge only through God's holy and divine Word. And if we don't do that, if we don't increase our faith, that virtue and knowledge, those Christian graces that Peter talks about, if we don't increase that, then we're going to succumb to that temptation time and time and time again. It's just like receiving that shot or inoculation so you don't get sick later. It's just like getting a flu shot. Because you don't want to get the flu, you're going to take precautions. You're going to go to the doctor. You're going to pay your money and receive that shot so later you will not have the flu because you know how bad the flu is. God is providing us with that inoculation, that shot in His Word, knowing that if we listen to what God tells us, if we follow the instructions that He's given us as His children, then when we face that temptation later, when we go through that trial in life, we know that we're going to be okay because we've got God's Word to help us. We've got God's Word to guide us, and we've got God's Word to live by. As a child of God, we have to live by His Word. We have to be willing to submit to God's entire will. We can't just live partially for God at one moment and partially for the world the other. We often sing that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." We're sojourners in this world. This is not our permanent dwelling. God desires that permanent dwelling to be with Him in heaven eternally. But if we succumb to that temptation, there's a good possibility we lose that hope of salvation. And there's nothing more sad in this world than to lose hope. To lose hope in knowing that we're never going to see God, that we're going to spend it in eternity with the devil. You know, we obviously can't have wishes in this life, and it's oftentimes we'll wish we had this or we'll wish we had that. But you know, if I could offer or have one wish in this world, it would simply be to give the world just 1 second of a glimpse into hell. And I guarantee you, if we could understand the severity of how great hell is going to be, of how horrible hell is going to be, it's not a place that we want to be, nor a place that we want to spend eternity. You have to make the choice today. How do you want to live your life? Do you want to live it in service to God, or do you want to serve the devil? And if the devil in any way, the world in any way, is tempting you, drawing you away from living your life as a Christian, as you should, it's time to ask God to help you to avoid that temptation. Don't be drawn away by the lust in your own eyes, knowing that the devil is simply tempting you, trying to pull you over to his side. Today you have to make the choice. The choice is always ours, who we choose to serve. So today, who do you choose to serve? I pray that you make the choice to serve God faithfully, to live the life of a Christian that God wants you to live, a happy life, a productive life, knowing that when you face that temptation and your faith is going to be tried and tested, that it stands firm, just as that metal is proven in the fire, that you too, as you pass through that difficult fire in your life, that temptation, knowing that you're going to come out on the other side stronger and better because you faced it with God standing beside you. Are you ready to make the sacrifice today to follow God? Are you willing to commit your life to God if you're not one of His children? If you're ready to do that, God gives us His steps in His Word. If you're willing and ready to hear the Word, He said that faith comes through hearing His Word. And if you're ready to believe the Word, knowing that what God says is true, and that God, in what God says, is inspired through the penman that wrote it, if you're willing to believe that, as Mark writes for us in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized is the one that shall be saved. If you're ready to repent of your sins today, to cast all the cares away in the world, knowing that you can no longer live for Satan, but that you want to serve God faithfully, repent of your sins. That is, to have that change of mind, which is going to change your heart, to live for God. And if you're ready finally to be baptized, but first confess in the name of Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God, to be baptized, knowing that you can live faithfully, have all your sins washed away, make that choice today. I pray for you, and God bless.